Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 27, verses 35 through 49. Then they crucified him, Jesus, and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. During the season of Lent, we've been considering some of the actions of Jesus' passion. We have considered how he was distressed, betrayed, denied, and accused. Today, we come to one of the actions that probably pops into our mind, if not first, one of the first actions that pops into our mind when we think of the Lenten season or Jesus going to the cross. Today, we consider the action that Jesus suffered. Doesn't seem to do it justice, though, does it? Seems like a gross understatement that Jesus suffered. Hardly seems adequate to describe all that Jesus went through on our behalf on that Good Friday. And yet that's how plainly the Scriptures describe it. It's how plainly we confess it in the Creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. Historians tell us just how badly prisoners suffered at the hands of Roman soldiers during their crucifixion. We're told horrible details about just how brutal those whippings were before they were crucified. The scourges that these soldiers would use were wooden sticks with leather strips at the end of them. And at the ends of these wooden straps, there were pieces of bone, sometimes nails, metal balls, and they would rip and dig and tear into the flesh of their victims, of these prisoners. While Jewish law restricted the lashings to be 40 minus 1, the Romans had no restrictions. The soldiers would whip their prisoners until they saw fit. One of the most famous historians of that time, a man named Josephus, actually says that the prisoners were whipped until their bones were laid bare. So many times people would die just from the scourging, from the whipping that they received before they were taken to the cross to be crucified. And the Romans actually saw that as being merciful, because then at least they didn't have to go through the excruciating death by the cross. All of this, the beatings, the scourgings, the mockings, the crucifixion, they were all very vividly portrayed for us on the big screen a little more than a decade ago in a very popular movie, The Passion of the Christ, a movie came out back in 2004. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. The scourging and the crucifixion scenes were very, very hard to watch. I've seen the movie once, and there's a reason I've only seen the movie once. I had to look away many times and winced at about every moment where they whipped Jesus. It was very difficult to even watch the brutality of that beating, of that whipping. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Jesus to go through it? Wouldn't you think the Apostles' Creed could have come up with a better description, a more vivid description of the events of Good Friday than just simply saying, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate? Well, obviously the Apostles' Creed and the Scriptures themselves were not written for the purpose of graphically portraying the suffering and death of Jesus. The main purpose for the Scriptures' accounts of Christ's suffering and death is to lead us to know that Jesus did suffer and die to pay for the sins of every individual sinner who's ever lived, including you and me. To know that and to believe it. That's why I'm here to tell you today that the text that we have recorded for us tells us of an even more agonizing suffering, a suffering that was so intense, so agonizing, that if we were to portray it on a movie screen, there is no possible way we could do it justice. Not even the scenes from The Passion of the Christ would even come close to approximating it. And in fact, it'd probably seem like playtime compared to what Jesus went through, according to our text. Listen to verses 45 and 46. It says that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember that through all of the physical beatings that Jesus went through, the whipping, the mocking, the insults, he remained silent. The Scriptures don't record for us Jesus crying out or saying words when these things are happening. We don't even have words recorded for us about what Jesus said or what he cried out when they nailed him to the cross. And yet when he's suffering during those 3 hours of darkness that apparently covered over the entire earth, we hear Jesus cry out the anguished words, quoting from David from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is when Jesus really suffered. He was suffering not just under Pontius Pilate at that moment. He was suffering under God, his Father. There in the midst of that darkness, a very miraculous darkness, which lasted from noon until 3 p.m. Imagine the world going black between those 3 hours. All of history's sins were laid on the soul of God's Son, Jesus. Those sins stirred up God's wrath and eternal punishment on Christ. He took it upon Christ, that punishment of hell, in our place. The Father had condemned the Son. God had forsaken God. That is true suffering. It's too horrifying for us human beings to try and go there and think about the thought of eternal suffering, separation from God for all eternity. We almost can't even go there with our minds. But think about being the eternal, holy Son of God who never did anything wrong, who had complete and perfect oneness with his Father and the Holy Spirit. Think about what it would have been like for him to be forsaken, to go through the sufferings and torments of hell itself, for crimes and sins, again, that he did not even commit. It's unthinkable. It's unimaginable and too much for our minds to even comprehend. We actually ask questions like, how could that have happened? How could Christ have suffered the eternal torments of hell in just 3 hours? How could God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, perfectly three in one from eternity, still be perfectly three in one even as Jesus was being forsaken by God the Father himself while he's dying for the world's sins on the cross? Why did Jesus, who knew exactly why he was there, exactly why he was suffering and being forsaken, why did he cry out to God the Father in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, we must admit that we may never fully know or may fully be able to comprehend the answers to all of these questions this side of heaven. But the truth is, we know exactly what occurred, or we know exactly why the events occurred during those 3 hours of darkness on that cross. When I think about that, I think of words from a children's hymn that my mom used to sing to me before we go to bed sometimes at night. The words said this: "We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there." So the gospel accounts obviously don't answer all of our curious questions about how did God work all of this out on the cross? How do you suffer eternally in 3 hours? What we do know, though, is that when all of this unimaginable suffering had ended, there was not one sin left to be paid for. There was not one soul whose sins were left unforgiven. What did Jesus say? "It's almost done," or "It's mostly finished," or "I've done my part, now you go out and do your part to complete your salvation." No. He said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus willingly suffered all of this for us because he knew it was going to be worth it. There's a verse from the book of Hebrews that tells us, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now we, as followers of Christ, we also are called, each one of us, to bear our own cross. And at times we're called to suffer for the sake of Jesus. Some of us will be called to suffer more than others. What should our attitude be toward these sufferings? Well, like the writer of Hebrews says, we should look to Jesus. First of all, look and see how much he suffered for us. The physical pains, the emotional distress, the spiritual anguish of God-forsakenness in hell. And suddenly, our crosses, our sufferings, don't seem so bad. The cross we are called to bear doesn't seem so heavy. Secondly, God invites us to look unto Jesus and cast all of our sufferings on him. Don't just look to him for his example or to look and see what he suffered, but look to him and cast those sufferings that you bear, cast them on him. The Bible says, "Cast your burdens on him, for he cares for you." What would you say you are suffering right now? Emotional pains? Immense stress? Physical pain? Maybe sickness or illness? Maybe an injury? Difficulties in your relationships, mistreatment or abuse, temptations. Cast all of those sufferings on the cross of Christ. God has promised to help us bear up under all of our burdens, and he wants to use all of those sufferings to refine our faith, like gold is refined as it goes through a very intense burning fire, for the purpose of walking closer to him. Finally, God wants us to look to Jesus and see that because of what he suffered for us, no matter what we suffer in this life, it is going to be worth it. More than worth it, in fact. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Jesus was forsaken that we would be forgiven. He suffered eternally that we might have joy for eternity. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.